With confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, here's the Emmanuel Pulpit and Pastor Mike Stone.
Would you take your Bible and be finding, please, the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6, in a moment we're going to read and begin the process of memorizing verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. If you're visiting today or just new to Emmanuel, every month, on the first Sunday of the month, we have a month-long memory verse. I have selected 48 verses of God's Word that I think are key fundamental verses to help us walk in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. These 48 verses will take us 4 years to cycle through, and perhaps we will look at some of them again in the future. Every year during the month of May, during this cycle of verses, we look at a passage of Scripture that deals with marriage and the family. And today we're turning the spotlight onto the parent-child relationship. As we look at Ephesians 6 and verse 2, a message I have simply entitled, Honor Your Father and Mother. The title is taken from the text of Ephesians 6 and verse 2. As we stand to our feet with open Bibles, we give honor and reverence to the public reading of the Word of God. Drawn from the New King James translation, I'll call your attention to the screen, and let's read our memory verse together. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, Ephesians 6, 2. And Father, would you bless the reading of your word and help us to hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against our parents, that in so doing we might not sin against you. Help us see this great truth. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Be seated, please. I heard about a kid's Sunday school class that was learning the Ten Commandments. And at the end of that 10-part series, the teacher asked the little boys and little girls who could quote one of God's Ten Commandments. Little Johnny nervously raised his hand, and he obviously confused the commandment against adultery and the commandment against coveting. And he said, God commands, thou shalt not uncover thy neighbor's wife. Little Johnny wasn't too far off. Well, today's text is really not about adultery or coveting, but it is one of God's Ten Commandments, and it's all about the family, specifically your relationship to your parents. Now, I need to make a very important, in fact, a fundamental distinction in this sermon today. Because a message like this will cause parents to want to elbow their children and say, are you listening to this? May I simply say, the text and the sermon are not about how your children are supposed to treat you, as much as it is about how you are supposed to treat your parents. That means nobody here today is exempt. Everybody in the building got here the old-fashioned way. For other than Adam and Eve and the Lord Jesus Himself, we all got here thanks to a mama and a daddy. So from the very youngest to the very oldest, God is commanding us as to how we should treat our parents. Now, in the beauty of God's economy, if we'll all focus on how we're supposed to treat our parents, then mom and dad, that'll take care of how your children treat you. But you and I need to focus on what God is saying to us about how we treat our mama and our daddy. Three simple things that I want to show you today, drawn from Ephesians 6 and verse 2. First of all, note that there is an ordinance to examine. An ordinance, that is, it's a law, a commandment from our God. In the translation we're studying today, the New King James, there are only 5 little words in the actual commandment, honor your father and mother. But although there are less than a half dozen words, we find here the fundamental building block for the family, for the church, and even for the nation itself. As we examine this ordinance, I want you to consider who it's from, who it's to, and what it's about. Who's it from? Note with me, first of all, the source of this ordinance. This is not a mandate that is given by the pastor. So quite frankly, if you are discomforted by any part of this message, I want you to know in one sense I deeply care, But in another sense, I don't care, because this is not my suggestion to you. It's not my dictate to you. I am comfortable in my spot today as middle management. I'm a flunky. I'm an errand boy. I'm a messenger. But I've come today to tell you what God has said. As I've already mentioned, today's memory work is drawn actually from one of God's Ten Commandments. Paul quotes it here in Ephesians chapter 6. But we read it initially back in the 20th chapter of Exodus. There in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, God's word says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you." Now, right off the bat, we see that this is one of many places where the New Testament affirms the inspiration of the Old Testament. Could it be that you've been influenced or affected by some prominent teaching that's making its way across the American church, that we need to focus on the New Testament and not the Old Testament? Some would say the New Testament is God's Word, but the Old Testament is Old Covenant. This is one place where we are reminded that if you don't understand the Old Testament, then you don't understand the New Testament. And you cannot honor the New Testament without also honoring the Old Testament. When Paul writes about the foundation of the family, he speaks to children, he speaks to parents, he speaks to fathers, and he speaks to mothers. He talks to husbands and wives. When he gets to the relationship between parent and child here in chapter 6, note how he begins in verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Then in verse 2, he reaches back into the pages of the Old Testament and takes a commandment from God as his text. Now, what was the setting of this commandment? Well, Israel had been in bondage for over 400 years. On the night of the Egyptian Passover, God brought them out, but he brought them out that he might bring them in. They are about to, at least they think, they are about to cross the Jordan and move into the land of promise. They are to finally establish the nation of Israel. And it is in that context that God says, among other things, there are some things you must keep in mind if you're going to have a stable and prosperous and successful nation. You'll not be prosperous as a people if you don't remember this. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Here is the simple commandment, and it comes from God himself. Honor your father and mother. Now, you know what that means in practical, simple shoe leather terms? That means it is impossible to be right with God and wrong with your parents. You cannot be rightly related to God and wrongly related to your parents, so long as so much as it depends on you. Now, I realize there are a variety of circumstances here today. Some of your parents are deceased. You still have a commandment from God to honor them, to speak highly of them, and to revere their special memory in your life. Some of you have very difficult situations. And you say, "Pastor, I can't tolerate being around this woman. I can't stand being around that man." Well, I've come today to say, as much as it depends on you, it is impossible to be right with God and be wrong with your parents. In fact, if you say you're right with God and you love Jesus, Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And one of his commandments is this: honor your father and your mother. The source of it. Think with me secondly now about the subject of it. We read and studied who this commandment is from. Well, who's it to? Well, the answer is very simple. All of God's Ten Commandments were written to you. And they've all been written to me. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest from your labor. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. Now, if you're like me, I grew up studying the King James, and I love that translation. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Can I just do a little grammar study and remind you? Thou means you. And thou means me. No one is exempted from this commandment any more than we would deem ourselves exempted from any other. The Bible does not say, do not steal unless you want something. The Bible says, do not commit adultery unless she's nice looking. The Bible says, does not say, do not lie unless telling a lie will keep you out of trouble. There are likewise no exemption clauses when it comes to honoring father and mother. Again, in Romans 12 and verse 18, the Bible says, if possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Now, I want you to listen very, very carefully to what Pastor is about to tell you. How your parents treat you says something about them. How you treat your parents is all about you. When I was about 7 years old, I went down to my dad's business. There was a customer in there buying something over the counter. And I said good afternoon to him. Good afternoon, Mr. Jones. And this man said to me, oh, don't call me Mr. Jones. You make me feel old. Mr. Jones is my daddy. Call me Bill. My daddy looked at him and said, oh, no, he's not going to call you Bill. He's going to call you Mr. Jones. And Mr. Jones said, he doesn't have to call me Mr. Jones. I'm not that important. And my daddy said, well, you may not be, but he's not going to call you something disrespectful, not because of who you are, but because of who I want him to become. The way other people treat you is about them. The way you treat them is all about you. You are the only person that is responsible before God for you. Well, Pastor, you don't know what they did. You're right. Preacher, you don't know how my mama is. You're right. Brother Mike, you just don't understand. If you only knew the whole story, you are correct. I don't know the whole story, but I'll tell you this. The God who knows the end from the beginning, who knows more about you, your mama, and your daddy than all y'all put together, know about yourself, he still says to you, honor your father and honor your mother. No one is exempted from this commandment. Now, someone here today deems themselves a Bible scholar, and you say, I would honor them if they were worthy of honor because the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. Gotcha, preacher. Well, that commandment I just referenced is in Romans 13, verse 8, and it's dealing with the government. But even if that's your proof text, I'll give honor to someone to whom honor is due. God says your parents are always due honor. Simply because of the position they have in your life. A spirit-filled Christian will never regret honoring even the most dishonorable parents. A spirit-filled Christian will never regret honoring even the most dishonorable parents. Now, I've had a whole bunch of people come through my office. I've never had one tell me, Pastor, now that Mama's gone, I'm so sorry I honored her. She was mean. She wasn't a good mother. And I regret every Mother's Day present. I regret every call. I regret every visit. My mother was not an honorable woman, and I regret obeying this commandment. I've never had anybody say that. I've never had anybody said, "Preacher, I'll tell you, now that Daddy is gone, he probably didn't even go to heaven. My daddy was the meanest man that has ever lived, and I regret showing him respect." I've never had anybody say that. But I've had scores talk to me and say, "Oh, Pastor, if I could have one more chance, one more phone call, one more visit, I would do my best to make things right." And that's a godly position, because the Bible gives a commandment from God to each and every one of us: honor your father and mother. The source of it, the subject of it. Let me say a word also about the seriousness of it. Dishonor, disregard, and disrespect are egregious sins in the sight of God. I believe if I ask you to write down on a piece of paper the five most vile and wicked sins that you could imagine, we'd come up with a pretty salty list. Rape, murder, child abuse, sexual sin. But did you know that God includes disobedience and disrespect to parents as a sign of somebody whose heart is hardened against God Himself? In Romans chapter 1, we read about God giving up on people, turning them over to their own reprobate mind. That is, God taking His hand off of them and His spirit out of them, and God saying, "I'm just going to let you go your own way and go as far as you could possibly go away from me." And the Bible says what happens when God does that. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do what ought not to be done, filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolishness, faithless, heartless, ruthless. God takes this issue of obeying and honoring our parents very, very seriously. In fact, for all the kids in the building today, if you know I'm talking to you when I say kids, then I'm talking to you. If you have a friend that is encouraging you to disobey your parents, if they talk ugly about your mama or your daddy, and if they say things like, "I can't believe your daddy won't do such and such. Your mama won't let you have a phone. Your daddy won't let you have your own Netflix account." I mean, what are they trying to raise, a Neanderthal? If you've got friends in your life that are disrespectful to your parents and trying to teach you to be disrespectful to your parents, look right here and listen to Pastor Mike. Get as far away from them as you possibly can. They will be like a cancer on your soul. God takes this sin very, very seriously. I want to show you a passage of Scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. It comes from the days of the theocratic nation of Israel, and when you see it, you'll be glad we no longer live in ancient Israel. In Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, the Bible says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out of to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, 'This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. And so you shall purge the what? You shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Teenagers, again, if you've got friends who are trying to teach you to disobey your parents, hey, we can do this, your mama will never know. We can go here, your daddy will never find out. Your mom and dad won't let you do that, but spend the night with me and we'll come and we'll go as we please. I will help you dishonor your parents. Listen, they are doing you worse spiritual damage than if they were trying to get you hooked on drugs and alcohol. God takes this sin very seriously. In Proverbs 30, verse 17, The Bible says that the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. In other words, you're going to die a slow and painful death. Exodus 21:15 says, "He who strikes his father or mother must be put to death." If I had ever struck my father, I would have been put to death. I'm talking about capital punishment on the spot. You say, "Well, I would never physically strike my mother or my father." Well, two verses later, the Bible says, "He who curses his father or mother must be put to death." That word curse involves an awful lot more than just saying an ugly word to them. Cussing at them. It includes that. But it's not limited to that. It speaks of pronouncing something that is unkind and ungodly about or to your parents. It means how we talk to them and how we talk about them while they're living and even after they have died. Mom and Dad, I want you to be very, very cautious how you talk to one another in front of your children. Because when you disrespect one another, you are teaching your children to disrespect their parents. Notice this statement on the screen. A parent who disrespects the other parent is teaching the child to rebel against God. I'm not going to teach my kids how to rob a bank. First of all, I don't know how to myself. I'm not going to teach them how to commit sexual sin. I'm not going to teach them how to lie better and cover it up. And I'm not going to teach them by my example to dishonor their mother. And my wife does not teach them by her example to dishonor me. This is especially true in cases of divorce and troubled marriages. You've seen it happen. It's happened in my family. It's happened in yours. Mom and Dad get a divorce. And perhaps to justify herself or to defend oneself, one spouse will start telling all the dirty laundry about the other spouse. "You need to know, honey, this was not Daddy's fault. It was Mama's fault. You need to know, precious, this wasn't Daddy's fault, it's Mama's fault. It's not Mama's fault, it's Daddy's fault. Your daddy is a scoundrel. Your mama is a witch. I mean, it was awful. Your mother is one of the most wicked women in the world." Anger will make you say an awful lot. Oh, y'all look all spiritual like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You better be very, very careful. Even in the most difficult and painful circumstances, how you talk about somebody else's mother or father. Grandparents, be careful how you talk about your ex-daughter-in-law. Be careful how you talk about your ex-son-in-law, especially when their children are around. Because when you disrespect their parents, they're learning by your example. Listen, they're listening with their ears, they're watching with their eyes, they're learning with their minds, and they're feeling with their hearts. Be careful that you don't teach your children to rebel against God by disrespecting their parents. Some years ago, I heard the story, the true story, of a young couple who had gotten married. They very quickly had a few children. And when those children were preschoolers, the man left the wife for another woman. The marriage ended. Those children were in college when one of them came home and said, "Mama, can I ask you something? Is this why you and Daddy got a divorce?" "Yes, son." You know how most people do that? They run down and 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 then wonder why their kids don't have a sense of honor and respect for their parents. Be careful you don't teach your children to disrespect their parents and disrespect God. Now, we're just examining this ordinance. I'm trying to make this simple for you. It's a commandment from God to you and to me. And the commandment is very basic: honor your father and mother. Secondly, there's an ordinance to examine. There's an obedience to express. Having looked at this commandment biblically and doctrinally, let's think about it practically. Preacher, how do I honor my father and my mother? Brother Mike, what if I'm already grown? I mean, I'm in my 50s. Do I still have to obey my mother? Preacher, what if my dad is a jerk and my mom is a nag? Brother Mike, you don't understand. When I see my mama's name on the caller ID on my cell phone, I go into convulsions. She's calling again. What if my parents are not Christians? What if they're a bad influence on me and on my children? How am I supposed to obey this commandment? Let me give you three things real quickly this morning. Number one, respect them when you are young. Honor your father and mother. That word honor speaks of weight. W-E-I-G-H-T. Weight. It speaks of a heaviness. It really speaks of influence, input, and authority. We talk about when we say, boy, their opinion carries a lot of weight. His word carries a lot of weight. That's the word the Holy Spirit uses here. Give your parents a lot of weight in your life. Give them an elevated position of importance. Practically, it means to children that your parents should have more influence on your life than anyone else. Tragically, many parents know the difficulty of trying to raise teenagers. And for 13, 14, 15 years, you gave them everything they needed. You got up in the middle of the night and wiped up vomit and patted down a fevered brow. You gave money for this trip and that trip and the other trip. You ran them from can till can't, put your own life on hold so that they could do everything that you thought it was appropriate for them to do. And then there's one schedule change out at the high school, and within a couple of days, a 15-year-old prepubescent punk has more influence over your little girl than her own mama and daddy, and that's a sin against God. The opinions and the input of our parents should mean more to us as when we're young than anyone else in the world. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." May I just insert right here, we have a tragic shifting in this country where we no longer respect old people to start with. You got a bunch of 20-year-olds. They've gotten an associate's degree. I mean, 2 years of college or trade school. And all of a sudden, they think that they're the brightest thing that ever came along. And grandma and grandpa and mom and daddy just need to shut up and let somebody show them how it's done. And that is an egregious sin against God. We're to honor those who are older. And it starts by honoring those that are older in our own home. We should respect them when you are young. It's interesting to note that we only know one story from the boyhood life of Jesus. For all the Bible tells us about the Lord, we see Him when He is taken to the temple to be dedicated, to be circumcised. He's just a few days old. We next see Him essentially when he's 30 years old in the waters of baptism, beginning his 3.5-year public ministry. But there's one little story and only one that's in between them, and it's Jesus as a 12-year-old boy. Bible students remember the story. He traveled with his parents to the city of Jerusalem. They went for a religious feast. His parents are doubtlessly traveling with a caravan, and as they head back home, they think he's with somebody else. I see them breaking camp one night, setting up for supper. Where's Jesus? I thought Jesus was with you. No, I thought he was with you. I thought he was in your wagon. No, I thought he was in your wagon. And they turn around and spend a day traveling all the way back to Jerusalem when they find Jesus sitting in the temple. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what Mary said to her son, but I know enough about mamas that it probably sounded something like this. What's the matter with you? You almost gave me a heart attack. I bit my nails down to the nubs. Why weren't you where you were supposed to be? I'm going to wear you out, boy. Kids, does that sound about right? Whatever she said to him, he said to her, where'd you think I was going to be? Didn't you know I would be about my Father's business? And the Word of God says that Jesus traveled home with them, and listen to this simple statement, and he, Jesus, was subject to them. The perfect God-man who never did anything. Listen, if there's ever been a time that you knew the kid was right and the parents were in the wrong, it was when Jesus was gotten on to by his mom and his daddy. But the Bible says he was subject to them. Now, I can't be dogmatic about this because the Bible doesn't say so, but in that culture, do you know what him being subject unto them probably meant? It probably meant he got a whipping. Now, if that makes you uncomfortable, it ought not make you uncomfortable, because that's the reason that Jesus came from glory down to this earth, to take upon himself a whipping and a punishment that he did not deserve. He took it at the hands of guilty men, though he himself was innocent. And what an example the Master is for us, even when we feel that others have done us wrong, including our own parents, that we subject ourselves to them and honor our Father and our Mother. So number one, respect them when you are young. Number two, repay them when they are old. Now, if you've got some grown children sitting in this service with you, this is the time that you need to nudge them and say, this part's for you, baby, listen up. We are to repay our parents when they are old. A popular senior adult magazine estimates that around 52% of Americans over age 65 will need some extended type of long-term care. And did you know, according to this same magazine, the median cost for a private room in a nursing home is just under $100,000 per year? And that's just for the nursing home. That's not all the other stuff that mom or daddy or grandma or grandpa are going to need. $100,000 a year. Now let me hasten to say that nursing homes provide a great ministry. And it could be because of your circumstance, that's the wisest and most loving and considerate thing that you could do for your loved one. I'm not criticizing that. That's between you and the Lord. But I will say this, generally speaking, God in his great wisdom provided a way to take care of young children, and its parents. And God in his great wisdom established a way to take care of aging parents and its older children. Now don't be like the little teenage boy who got mad with his mom and he said, you better buy me a new phone because I'm the one that's going to be picking out your nursing home. I'll show you a passage of scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. You've seen this text before. That if anyone does not provide for the members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. One translation says, worse than an infidel. Do you know how that verse is almost always used? It's frequently and typically used to describe the deadbeat dad and the good-for-nothing mama. Brought these kids into the world and then won't take care of them. Says he loves Jesus. No, he doesn't. The Bible says if a man won't take care of his own family, he's worse than an infidel and he's denied the faith. I do think that's a true statement, that parents ought to take care of their children. But do you see that? That's 1 Timothy 5:8. Let me show you the context of that statement by backing up to verse 3. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household. That is, it's not the church's responsibility to take care of the elderly if they have children and grandchildren. Let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make repayment to their parents. for this is pleasing in the sight of God. You say, well, Brother Mike, if I did that, that would kind of cramp my style. Then I'll remind you, it's in that context. Not of parents taking care of their children, but grown children taking care of their parents is in that context, the Bible says, if anyone does not provide for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The King James calls it recompensing our parents, recompensating them, paying them back. You say, well, Brother Mike, if I did some of the things that a lot of people do for their aging parents, I'd have to do without a bunch. Could I ask you, you think your mom and daddy ever did without because of you? Preacher, it kind of put a cramp on my style. You think you ever cramped your mom and daddy's style? Why, for me to drive all the way over there and do that, why, that'd be so inconvenient. May I simply say, little league? Pay them back. Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand. My mama gets on my last nerve, and I say nerve because it is my last one. My mama just grates my skin. I got a newsflash for you. There were times when you were a little kid, your mama understood why some animals eat their own young. But my daddy embarrasses me. He wears those old worn-out plaid polyester Sansa belt breeches pulled up under his armpits, and he goes in there and he asks all the ladies, where's the prune juice in large quantity? Oh, my daddy embarrasses me. You don't think you ever embarrass your kids at the grocery store? Embarrass your parents at the grocery store? The Bible simply says there comes a time in life that we are to pay them back. Not even primarily with money. Pay them back with time. Pay them back with visits. Pay them back with chores around their house. I'd be embarrassed if my parents had to pay somebody to come do something that I was able to do for my mama or for my daddy. Repay them by going to events that they want to go to that you don't want to go to. Brother Mike, I don't want to go to the Conway Twitty Museum at Myrtle Beach. I don't either, for the record. But yet, I can't forget the time that I was singing in the college choir over at Valdosta State. It was a Thursday night at Whitehead Auditorium. And I look out and I see my mama and my daddy have driven down from the city of Macon. That's where they were living at the time, from Macon to Valdosta. My daddy, who was raised as a Berrien County, I'm talking about Nashville, Georgia, USA, redneck, is sitting out there listening to the Brahms Requiem. Now, if you don't know what that means, that's a bunch of college students singing in German for 2 hours about dead people. My father is not a Brahms aficionado. He thinks the best music is when you get a CD with Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs. He didn't care anything that night about Brahms at all. But he was passionately in love with one of the second tenors. And the Bible says there should come a time in our life that we honor our parents by paying them back. Respect them when you are young. Repay them when they are old. Thirdly, we obey this commandment if we revere them as long as you live. I just simply want to point out there's no time limit on this commandment, not for you. We are to honor our parents for our entire lifetime. Not just for their lifetime, but for ours. That means we should speak well of them even after they are deceased. We should honor their memory. We should speak highly of them. to our children, to our grandchildren. We should keep their memory alive through the telling of stories and passing down what a good man your grandpa was, what a godly woman your grandmother was. We should honor our parents for our entire life. And again, someone right here, I'm telling you, I know for a fact, somebody sitting here this morning is saying, but Brother Mike, you just don't know. So I'll repeat myself. I don't know, but God knows. And God said, honor your father and mother. Pay them back. Revere them as long as you live. And respect them when you are young. One of my earliest memories as a boy was of my great-grandfather living with us. He and I actually shared a room together. I had bunk beds that we unstacked, twin beds, and I slept in one. And the man that I called Grandpa slept in the other bed. Toward the end of his life, he started losing his mind. Today, we would call it Alzheimer's. Back then, we said he's losing his mind or going senile. And with the loss of some mental capacity, he began to lose some body function. And I remember one evening, my dad getting his granddaddy, I called him Grandpa. My daddy got Grandpa in the bathtub, got him cleaned off, and then took his overalls out to the clothesline and started hosing them out, trying to get them clean enough to go in the washing machine. As a little boy, maybe about 6 years old, I talked about how gross that was. And it is. It is. Daddy, that's nasty. And my daddy simply said, Grandpa changed me a many a time. Pay them back. How can I obey this commandment? Respect them when you are young. Repay them when you are old. Revere them as long as you live. And there's one last thing we need to look at. There's an ordinance to examine, an obedience to express, but then there's an outcome to expect. In our text today, Paul not only says, honor your father and mother, but he says, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, in the context here, he's referencing the Ten Commandments. The first four don't have a promise attached to them, but when you get to number five, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land the Lord your God is about to give you. So there are three aspects of this promised outcome I want us to look at very briefly. First, there are personal blessings that it may go well with you. For starters, if you honor your parents, they may not kill you while you're young. But if you think just practically, I'm talking about pragmatically. If you'll honor your parents, it'll keep you out of a lot of danger and maybe help you live longer. Because even parents that are not Christians and don't seek to live by the Bible, generally speaking, parents love their children and want the very best for them. They know to tell you not to stick the fork in the light socket. They know to tell you not to jump off the diving board at the deep end before you learn how to swim. So obeying your parents can simply keep you out of danger. And children, you honor them to your benefit, you disobey them to your own detriment. Last night I was watching a documentary about a serial killer from the 1960s and 70s. Maybe you heard about the Zodiac Killer. His first two victims were a 17 and 16-year-old. It was a young man and a young girl out on their very first date. And instead of going where they were supposed to be, they went out to what we might call Lover's Lane. Didn't realize that a serial killer was going to meet them there, and they died that night. Now, that's certainly an extreme example, but I could stack up story after story after story after story of children and teenagers whose lives were devastated, and it could have been avoided if they had simply done what mom and daddy told them to do and don't do what mom and daddy told you not to do. Personal blessings. Secondly, there are national blessings. Again, the Ten Commandments were given as Israel is about to go into the Promised Land. And God gave the promise to the entire nation. The promise of a long life was not an individual promise. So if someone dies young, that doesn't mean that they that they were not respectful children or that God broke his promise. The promise is to the nation as a whole. We might say it like this: honor your father and mother that it may go well with y'all, and that y'all may live long in the land the Lord your God is about to give you. And I say very quickly this morning that any nation, including ours, that does not teach and honor and respect of parents will suffer as a nation. One of the reasons that we have such violence against the police in our nation is at an epidemic proportion, and now we have to have hashtag Blue Lives Matter. It's because we've raised a generation that didn't learn respect at home. And sometimes one of the godliest things you can teach your children is you're going to do what I told you to do, whether you understand it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, because that's just the way things are. And if you don't learn that lesson, it's going to ruin you in life. But if you do learn it, it will bless you. Because if you don't honor your boss, you're going to get fired. If you don't honor the teacher, you're going to get expelled. If you don't honor the police officer, you're going to jail or maybe to the graveyard. If you don't honor your spouse, you're going to end up in divorce court. And God loves us enough to teach us authority in the crucible of the home. And it starts by honoring the first people that we ever meet. Honor your father and mother. Their personal blessings, national blessings, and finally there are eternal blessings. Whether you're 7 or 17 or 77, there are eternal blessings awaiting those who honor God. One day I will stand before the Lord and I will give an account for my life, and one of the things I will answer to God for is how I treated my mama and my daddy and my grandparents. And one of the things as a married man that I will answer to God for is how I treated my wife's mama and daddy and her grandparents. And on that day of judgment, I want to hear God look at the way I treated my parents and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Quick story as I close. Sit very still and listen. Some years ago, I went to the funeral of a woman who was well into her 90s. One of her grown granddaughters, probably 45 years old or so, stood to eulogize Granny. Granny was apparently a godly woman, and the granddaughter was just thanking the Lord for Grandma's Christian influence. The granddaughter told this story. She said, "When I was 12, I wanted to get my ears pierced, but my daddy told me I couldn't. So I went to see Granny. Granny, talk to your son about let him let me get my ears pierced." Granny said, "No, baby, I'm not going to do that because the Bible forbids it." The Bible forbids what? The Bible forbids you from getting your ears pierced. Stay with me now, all you ladies with pierced ears. The Bible forbids you from getting your ears pierced. "Granny, where does the Bible say that?" "Will you go find it and bring it back to me?" So the girl went and she scoured, from Genesis to Revelation, looking for a prohibition against pierced ears. She came back to Granny. "Granny, I don't find it in there." Granny said, "Well, you better look again. It's in there." So she sent the girl away, and the girl scoured the Bible from cover to cover again. She came back now for the third time. "Granny, I just don't see anything about pierced ears in the Bible." She said, "Baby, turn over to Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And the next verse says, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. Didn't this whole conversation start, baby, by you telling me your daddy said you couldn't get your ears pierced? That's good. Then, baby, if your parents have told you not to do it, that's all the Bible you need. Amen. Whether you're dealing with pierced ears or a parent who needs long-term elder care, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise.
You've been listening to the Emmanuel Pulpit, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Mike Stone, senior pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. With confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, Pastor Mike is committed to walking you verse by verse through books of the Bible. We pray this message has been an encouragement to you as you seek to learn and live the Word of God. Free audio downloads of this message, as well as general contact information, are available through our website at ebchurch.net. Thanks for joining us for today's message from the Emmanuel Pulpit.